That'll do. So it's a pleasure to be with you. And I hope what we'll study together this afternoon will benefit us all as children of God, recognizing those things that might be important to us in this life. I want to talk to you about facing the challenges of life. All of us have challenges from one time or another. Maybe a challenge at work. May have a deadline you'd have to meet. Maybe a challenge that you may find as in school as a student. The teacher puts before you a sign that is really going to be a challenge to accomplish. Challenges in the home of making a marriage successful, raising children, the challenge that is there. And of course, there are challenges to our faith almost on a daily basis as we run into people who do not care about the Lord, who do not live in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord. So those challenges are there. The word challenge is defined as a calling in question, to take part in a fight or a contest. Probably the one we would be more familiar with would be the contest between Elijah and the prophets. 1 Kings 18. You remember there that prophets of Baal and Elijah had a confrontation. There was a challenge that was issued. The challenge was whether which God, Baal, or the God of heaven, was the true God. And so they had to build altars, each one of them. And then they prayed for their God to send down fire to ignite the altar and the sacrifice. Remember that the prophets Baal for nearly all day called on Baal, and there was no fire. Elijah drowned his sacrifice in water and then called for God to send down fire to ignite it, to show the people that he was the true God. The fire came down, devoured the sacrifice, fired the altar that it was on. It had a ditch built around it filled with water. And the fire ate up that, or melted, or took up that water as well, so it was destroyed. Israel then shouted, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And so here was a challenge that was offered, and a challenge that was accepted, and a challenge that brought faith at that time to those who witnessed what took place. Though we can have challenges, as I said, in many different areas of our life, probably the hardest place for us to deal with challenges, they have to do with health. They have to do with death. And how to deal with those things. How does God want us to deal with them so that we can get through and be victorious in whatever those challenges may be? I'd like for us, for a little while, to consider some important principles concerning how to successfully overcome challenges of life, to meet them in the proper way so that we may be victorious in dealing with those challenges. First of all, I want us to remember that our lives are always in God's hand. That's an important fact for us to understand. God's hand. Life's threatening events make us powerfully aware of this truth. David realized it. In your hearing a few moments ago, we had the fine reading of Psalms 23. Listen to it again with the idea of David realizing how powerfully aware he was in the existence of God, and his life's existence was in God's hand. When he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David realized that he was in God's hands, that he was always in God's hands, and that God was aware of him. Paul understood this fact. He wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 19, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of the..." Again, we see that Paul understood the idea that the Lord, our lives were in the Lord's hands. Or James penned the same idea in James 4 and in verse 15. "For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or do that." Even when life is routine, our lives are in God's hands. The wise man in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 1 writes, "For all this I consider in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." It's important for us to remember those things and that fact that where we are with God. There's a great assurance and comfort knowing that God is in control of things in this life. And that if we believe that and are willing to accept that, we'll be able to deal with many of the challenges in this life. Not only that, but understand the fact that God loves us. When we are sinners, when we're enemies, God loves us even then. In Ephesians 2 and verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sin, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Or in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "Promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So what we see here is that God loves us when we're enemies. He loves us when we're sinners. Of course, he loves us when we're his children. James penned, "Or our lives are in the hands of God. Life's threatening events make us powerfully aware." Paul realized it. Now listen to James. "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or do that." And so we find these things are important to us. His love is real. It's strong to adversity, as in prosperity. Our circumstances in life are not a measure of God's love. A lot of times people have a hard time or going through hard times in their life or suffer something that is really debilitating to them, and they want to forget the idea that God loves them even in this situation. They feel bad. And so our circumstances in life are not a measure of God's love. Sometimes when bad times come, some may say, "Well, God doesn't love me anymore. And why is God doing this to me? To suffer or to hurt like this?" Remember, in Job's life, it was not God, but it was Satan that brought the suffering and the agony and the distress in his life. In good times, it's easy for us to say that God is good, but at the same time, he loves us the same, whether it's bad or whether it's good times in our life. He does not desert us. He is not one to leave us in those times. The measure of God's love is seen in the cross. In Romans 5 and verses 6 and 7, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, one would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What love God demonstrated to mankind, to you and to me. In the cross, he proved forever how much he loves each one of us. He wants us to be his forever. He knows what it is for a loved one to suffer. He knows what it is for a loved one to die. And what we're going through. This knowledge of his love is a great encouragement. We'll remember go through in this life. Do you remember it? You keep in mind that when times are tough or you're hurting, things are not going the way you would like for them to go, that even in that suggestion and that situation, God loves you. God's love is one that we need to remember and understand and apply it to our lives. When we begin to reflect upon life and our goals, the things that come to us as priorities in our life, we need to remember that our ultimate goal or priority of life is to glorify God. Paul was facing an uncertain future when he wrote the Philippian letter. And in Philippians 1 and verse 20, he said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be in life or in death. Paul's goal was to bring magnification to Jesus Christ, to God, and his life, and the way that he lived, and the way that he served. We must live our lives with the same goal in view as did Paul. That my goal is whatever I do to live a life in such a way that it brings glory to God, that it edifies other Christians as they see, and other people as they see me trying to glorify God in everything that I do in this life. It is important for us to do it. Bad news will not bring a major change in the direction of our lives. If our goal has been to serve him, but if our goal has been otherwise, if our goal has been earthly riches that have been popularity, to live forever, then bad news will destroy it. It will cause us such suffering, causing us to lose all hope, strength, as well as our faith. We must not lose sight of what our ultimate priority in life is. We must keep on doing what God has called us to do, to serve him, to worship him, to do what he has instructed in his word, doing our best to serve him faithfully. We'll do that. That's one of the things that will certainly help us to meet life's challenges. If we will do that, he'll take care of the rest. He's promised that. Our earthly future is always uncertain. Something else we need to consider. The uncertainty of life. Bad news makes us keenly aware of life's uncertainty. The truth is, had we not received bad news, our earthly future would be no less secure. None of us know from day to day what we will face, whether we will live that day, or what will happen during the day. In James 4, verses 14 and 15, he said, whereas you know not what is on the morrow, For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. We must always be ready to face God in judgment. We must prepare ourselves to meet God in judgment. He's told us what it takes for us to be prepared to meet Him in the day of judgment. He's told us what we must do in order to obey the gospel, to have our sins washed away, and following the gospel plan of salvation, of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. He's told us those things. And He's told us what to do as Christians when we stumble or when we fall. We're to repent of it, confess our sins, and pray to Him for forgiveness. All of these things are important. We must always be ready to face God. Do you pray to God for forgiveness of your sins often, or just in emergencies? We need to prepare ourselves, be ready for the judgment day, for those unknown things that may happen to us in life. Another thing that I want you to understand in dealing with challenges is our heavenly hope is always sure and steadfast. This is the one constant in our existence. There are many ways we don't know the answer to this life. We ask ourselves, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did this happen to me or to them or whatever it may be? We don't know the answer to some of these things in life. But if we embrace God, embrace His word with an obedient faith, we'll not go under. We'll survive. God will hold us up through the storms of life. And we have to be ready for that and prepare ourselves for that. Our faith in God's promises would be expressed differently, I think, than we do sometimes. Sometimes we say, we believe such and such. Why don't we change that and say, we know so and so. Listen to these passages. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know that that is the name. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There are things that we can know from God's promises, from God's word, that should not bring doubt into our life, but bring us strength and courage and the ability to overcome whatever challenges may come into our life. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 6 and verse 19, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into within the veil. These promises of God that our faith is based upon are there for a reason. They're there for God's children to be able to get through the difficulties and the persecutions and the heartaches and the suffering and the heartbreak in this life. He knows what we're going through. And as a result of that, He's given us ways to overcome it, to get through it, to make it okay. Do it in a way that will be pleasing in God's sight. If we will remember, our lives are always in God's hand, that God always loves us, that our ultimate priority is to glorify God in this life. Our earthly future is always uncertain, and our heavenly hope is sure and steadfast. we'll be able to meet life's challenges, be able to get through them. We will not give up nor blame God foolishly, as Job's wife tried to get him to do. Told him to curse God and die. He said, though he slay me, he would not deny. That's the zeal, the desire that we need to have to be able to meet the challenges of life. You'll meet challenges this week that you never dreamed that you'd have to meet, whether it's at work or in the home or whatever, in the family, whatever it may be. And how you have prepared yourself will depend on whether or not you'll be able to get through that challenge and be able to survive it and be successful as you continue on in your life. The knowledge of God's love, the knowledge of His care, and the promises that He has made will give us strength to face life's challenges, whatever may come our way. Let's don't give up. Let's remember there is a way. There are things that we can do that will help us overcome these challenges. Are you here tonight and you're not prepared to meet God in judgment? You haven't obeyed the gospel? Or you become unfaithful and fallen away? You need to return. Those are important decisions that you must make. It is important for us to be sure that we're preparing ourselves not only for judgment, but we are also preparing ourselves to meet whatever life's challenges may come our way. God has given us the blueprint of how to meet these challenges, how to get through them, and continue in life. May we all do that. If you need to respond to the gospel tonight, we encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.